Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Brother read to us, let me read it again. Build your house upon the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's pray. Well, Father, I pray this day, as we look to your word, your people will recognize these are not Pastor Rick's words, they're your words, the words that I just read. Oh, yes, they're words that I need to explain and interpret, but, oh, Lord, may your truth ring loud in their hearts, and may this man decrease, and may Jesus, my Lord, increase, whose name I pray. Amen. On May of 2021, my son Nicholas, who's with me today, who had always wanted to build his mother a house, exchanged that for building his mother a wall. And so in our backyard, we began to set about that task. Nick, myself, and Seth began to study. By the way, Nick had just come home for the summer for a few days. He was studying civil engineering at Purdue. So he had some thoughts about these things to help us how to build in building this wall. But ultimately, we began to search and do some research into how do you build a wall. And come to find out, whether it was in researching on the internet or whether it was asking someone who knew about wall building or whether it was going to the ones who sold us the bricks, they all said the same thing. Basically this, be careful how you build your foundation. That is the key. And so we did just that. We thought, we dug, we looked at, how do we build this foundation? Sure enough, we spent more time digging the hole, preparing and laying the first roll of wall bricks than we did on the rest of the wall, to be quite frank about it. The first row needed to be placed very carefully. It needed to be balanced perfectly. And so when you're hauling around those 75, 80-pound bricks and you're throwing them in the hole, and you're trying to balance them themselves with that brick and the next brick to it, it took some time. It took some time to pull out that old brick and put in some more gravel and put it back in and level it. But you also had to be leveled with the rest of the wall. And so there were lots of hours spent not only digging, not only laying the gravel down, but trying to level those crazy bricks. And so we would move them side to side, front to front, whatever it may be, kept using our level. Level not only that one, but with the other ones. As perfectly as we could, we got the bottom level finished. And you know what happened to the rest of the wall? Went up like that. It was amazing. We spent, again, most of our time on the foundation. We found out that the foundation was essential. Now, in this passage, Jesus is ending his sermon. He's coming to the very end of all of this. And he's calling for his followers to evaluate, to think about whether you're going to be a wise man or a foolish man. By the way, when I say man this morning, that includes all of you, mankind, okay? I'm not going to say man and women every time, but just recognize when I'm talking about the foolish man, that includes everybody, not just the men here. The men, I want you to be wise, yes? But I'm speaking to all who's listening. So we have a danger of in hearing but not listening to what Jesus had to say and following what he said. We hear it, maybe we listen, but we don't do what he has to say. Don't we all have that danger? It's what Jesus is referring to here. So the three words I want to hang my thoughts on this morning. The first word is evaluation. The second word is foundation. And the third word is action. So go with me in this passage and let's think carefully. And I want you to first of all evaluate. Look at verse 24. I believe this is what Jesus is calling his disciples and the crowd here to do. For he says in verse 24 of verse 7, everyone And who's everyone? Everyone. Everyone who's listening, right? In this passage particularly, it says that the crowds were there and the disciples were there. So everyone, he says, those who are listening to my teaching, those who are hearing me, he wants them to think and to ponder and to consider or to evaluate their lives. Two things Jesus seems to really focus on and point out. One of them is, what is your foundation? And second, what is your action? Or what are your actions? So it's good for us to do the same this morning. Evaluate. You can evaluate all the way through my sermon. Evaluate, evaluate. I'm going to come back to it again at the end. But we need to evaluate. We need to ponder. We need to think. We need to ask ourselves, how does this truth show up in our lives, or does it? In this story, we have two men, we have two houses, and we have two foundations. We find both similarities and differences in these stories. I'm going to start with some similarities and then move to the differences when I'm talking about the second word, foundation. When it comes to foundation, both men built their house on a foundation. Matthew says that the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the... You know the story. Luke 6 gives us a parallel passage that helps us a little bit with the details here. They're the same, but I want you to see this passage. I believe I have it up on the screen, yes. Look what Luke says about this same story. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like, Jesus says. He's like a man building a house, now notice these words, who dug deep and laid his foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke out against the house, it could not shake it because it had been well built. Contrast. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of the house was great. So in both passages, both Matthew and Luke talk about building your house upon the rock as a foundation. That is, the wise man does this. In our days, we would describe this as a rock bed. He's not talking about just some big boulder. He's talking about digging down till you hit some rock in which you... This is the stratosphere of rock. It's a layer of rock. It's something that's more than just a big rock. It's the very, very bottom where you can't feel anything else but rock. And you have to dig down to do that. I know when I was living in Texas, we had a house near the Gulf, not far from Galveston. And our house started shifting. And when I called out the guys to level the house before I sold it, he said, you're going to have to dig deep down to get to this house. Matter of fact, they brought in these pylons about yay big around and about a foot tall, and I think they had to go down 20 to 25 pylons before they hit the rock. And so, depending on where you are, you got to dig deep to get to the rock. Now, so what we're looking at is something that, of course, obviously when you get to the rock, what does it do? It gives you a firm foundation. It's a solid foundation. It's not going to fall. It does not falter. So the man who chooses to build his house upon this stratum or this layer of rock is going to hit something that is strong, it's solid. And Luke says the wise man has to dig to get there. It took work, it took thinking, it took effort. Now the foolish man built his house on the sand. The house also had a foundation, but its foundation was either on the ground in what Luke says or the ground of sand in which Matthew says. Now, certainly all of you have experienced building sandcastles, right? You go to the beach and you build a castle and you may spend all this time. It looks very pretty. Looks very nice. But all of a sudden, what happens? A wave comes in and your castle is gone just like that. Or maybe you have a friend. Maybe your little brother or sister or bigger brother and sister decides they don't like your sandcastle. They're going to play a joke on you. All they got to do is kick it, right? It's gone. Nothing to it. Build your house upon the sand, it falters, it fails quickly. They both had a foundation. The other thing I want you to notice about this is that both the wise man and the foolish man were tested. Look at the verse. In 25 and 27, the same word, and going back to Matthew chapter 7 is where I am. Whether it's verse 25 or 27, the same words show up. It's the same in Luke chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 7, it's described like this. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. Whether it was the foolish man or the wise man, it came to both. Now, what does all this mean? Well, some ideas and thoughts. Let me share with you. I don't know where you get all the details because they really matter so much. But we do know that rain spells out difficulty. It could be an illness. It could be a loss. It could be a natural disaster. Something suddenly came. Floods. This is the idea of a torrent, a downpour. It could have to do with how the world attacks us and tries to destroy us. With its own thinking, this world comes crashing in. You turn on the television, it crashes in on you every day, right? Or the third thing that Jesus speaks about here are the winds that blew and beat on the house, both houses. And several powerful winds is the idea here. And that it continued to beat. It pushed you. It hit the house with great force. Some have said this was like Satan in his demonic attacks against God's people or against even the world. But whatever it may be, whether it's doubts or evil things or Satan, we know the scripture tells us that he roars and he roams around roaring, seeking someone he might what? Destroy. To kill. He wants to destroy. However, we see the application of the rain, the floods, and the walls. And the storm, here's the thing. It's frightening, it's harsh, it's difficult. It comes on both the wise and the foolish. None of us will escape the storms. Have you not had storms in your life? Have you been able to escape all the storms that come? No. But here's what I want you to realize. Listen carefully at this point. The testing, the trials, the difficulty do not make you who you are. Follow with me here. You see, the storm doesn't create faith in you, but it gives you the opportunity to show your faith. The rain and the winds don't build your foundation. They test the foundation that what you already believe. The foundation was laid beforehand. What comes out in a difficulty in a storm is what's already there, what you already believe, who you really think Jesus is. That's what comes out. The storm makes clear what kind of foundation we've laid. This is a hard teaching. I want to tell you something different sometimes, but this is the truth. This again is where the evaluation must come in, where we must think, is your faith on the solid rock of Jesus, or is it on the sand of yourself? That's the question. You see, the trials and the difficulties and the storms reveal what's on the inside, what's in your heart. If the truth of Jesus is in you, guess what comes out? Him. If not, then you'll fall. So prepare now. That's the warning here. Don't wait for the storms to come. Think about it now. Prepare now. And so both houses were built on a foundation, and both houses faced very difficult times, storms that rocked the foundation. And so now for some of the differences. Foundations. What Jesus says is there's a difference between the wise man and the foolish man here. You know, all this is very simple. It's very clear. It's not obvious. I mean, it's very obvious to see. It's not difficult to understand. One built his house and it didn't fall. The other built his house and it fell. The foundations were radically different. And so what is a foundation built on sand? It's a foundation. The foolish man put his faith in the wrong things. He trusted in himself. He trusted in his money. He trusted in his own pleasures. He trusted in his own wisdom, his wit, his will. He trusted on the wrong things. He put his foundation where it was going to fall. Peace and happiness, what he thought would bring him peace and happiness. He built it all on himself, what he thought was right. And guess what? It didn't last. This is the sand of self. It's the foundation of the foolish man. It's on what he thinks and what he believes and what he wills. It's not on Christ. So what is the rock? Well, the rock is the one who's speaking. It's Jesus, right? That's pretty simple. Throughout the scripture, we see that. Jesus is the rock. The sand is self. The rock is Jesus. At the end of ministry, you remember at the end of his ministry. Now, let me take you there for just a minute because this is the beginning of his ministry. He just finished his first sermon. But if we go through all of Jesus' life and come to the end, he brings a question to Peter that helps even clarify this again. He says, Peter, all these people are saying this about me, but Peter, who do you believe that I am? And what did Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus didn't deny it. He said, you're right, Peter. Matter of fact, he said, and on you, but he's talking about his confession. We could say it this way. Peter, on your confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. It's on this rock that I will build my church. That's the word he uses. So Jesus is the rock. And when I talk about Jesus being the rock, it's Jesus and his teachings. In other words, you can't separate who he is from what he taught. It's both. Okay? So when we say that we build our life on Jesus, we build it on him, but we also build it on what he has said, who he is and what he has done, right? Can't separate the two. And so when we talk about that, we combine that together. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, according to the grace of God given me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Paul knows how to lay some foundations, doesn't he? He's referring to some kind of skilled master builder here, and someone else is building upon it. But let each one take care how he builds upon it. Why? For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the foundation. And the wise man believes in him. The wise man patiently studies and thinks and ponders about his words. He prepares his life and his family to receive these words. He builds his house on Jesus and Jesus' words. So that leads to action. Here's where the difference really shows up for us, does it not? Remember again, Jesus is at the conclusion of his sermon. What's a conclusion, by the way? What do you do in a conclusion? Some of you guys write papers, right? Some of you have to give speeches. What's the purpose of a conclusion? Well, there's different purposes, but particularly in a conclusion, you're wanting to summarize what you've said so that people will remember what has been said. And if you're in a persuasive paper, you want to persuade that person to action. So Jesus is coming to the end. He's wanting his people to hear what he has to say, and he wants them to do something about it. And so when you look at the scripture here, he says it very clearly here. He wants them to take action on what he says. Verse 24 again. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and what? Does them. He's calling us to obey, brothers and sisters. He's calling us to listen. Do what he says. The wise man does God's word. And Jesus wants us to listen carefully and to practice his word. What particularly in this passage is he asking people to do? He's asking people to do what he just preached. So in other words, you got to go back to Matthew chapter 5. You got to read chapter 5 all the way through chapter 7 and ask myself, have I built my life on what he's just told me? Am I living what he says? And so bear with me. I'm going to take you there. I'm going to have to make it quick. But I want you to hear these words. I'm going to summarize these two chapters in 5 minutes if I can. But let me remind you, as we do this, you can go back and read it yourself. Not only can you, I would urge you to. Because these are what he's talking about. He's talking about building your life on what I just said. I am the rock, I speak. These are the words you need to listen to. You need to check and evaluate your life. And I have to do it for myself too. We got a lot of work. Do it so that you follow these words. So listen to what he says, if I can summarize. Blessed are those. I'm in chapter 1. You don't have to go through all these, but listen carefully. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that you're not proud, you're not haughty, you're not self-sufficient, but that you know that you are broken and a needy person. You are dependent on Christ and him alone. And then he says, blessed are the mourners. Mourners see their sin and hate it. They're broken over the evil in their own hearts, their own thoughts, their own actions. They're not there to point out sin in others. They start first in their own heart and they grieve over their own sin. Meek. Meek are not demanding and angry people. They're filled with the control of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' guidance. They are given patience and love and kindness and concern for everybody, for others around them. They're meek. Fourth, those who are wise hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. They read and hear His word and they're stirred in their heart to follow Jesus. They desire to be wise. So I ask you, do you desire to be wise this morning? Or do you desire to just walk in foolishness? You don't care. Blessed are the merciful, He said. The merciful are quick to give and receive forgiveness. Blessed are the peacemakers. If there's conflict that happens, they run to make that right with others. They seek peace with God, but they also seek peace with others. Blessed are the persecuted. They're not unwilling to stand and say, I'm a follower of the rock. These attitudes and foundation stones of the wise men, the wise men's house are clear and evident as Jesus begins the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes of our heart. But He continues. The wise, righteous man does not look for externals to make him righteous. He knows that the only hope is Christ and then obeying what Christ has said from the heart. The wise man knows that his righteousness is in Jesus and Him alone, not in the works like the Pharisees did. He seeks to put away his anger and be reconciled to his neighbor. He cuts off lust and runs to Christ for his fulfillment. He does not seek to retaliate when wrong. But what does he do? He prays for his enemies. He does good to his enemies. The wise man gives to the needy without blowing the trumpet on the corner so that he can say, look what I've done. He prays not with words to impress others, but with words that his Father will listen to in the secret. He fasts not so that others can see him, but so that the Father may see in secret. He does not practice these right things in front of others. He only wants his Father to know. His desire is to lay up treasure in heaven by loving and giving and serving other people. There's no fanfare here to make. There's nothing about desire for recognition here. He battles to put off worry and strives to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The wise man does not make a practice of criticizing or judging others. I'm in chapter 7 now. That was a quick one. He doesn't think about wanting to criticize and judge others because he realizes he is a sinner. Probably worse than they are. But he's quick to identify and repent of the sin in his own life. He asks God. He seeks of God. He cries out to God. He knocks. And when the door doesn't come open, he keeps knocking. He's patient. He's seeking. He's waiting. He's knocking. And the wise man enters by the narrow gate. He desperately desires to avoid self-deception. By not justifying himself in the eyes of God or others, no, but by believing in the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ, his Lord. His life proves that he's wise because he hears and does the will of God and the word of God. And he lives a life of wisdom. The wise man believes it in Jesus and believes in his teachings. In contrast, the foolish man is characterized by not doing God's word. That's what verse 26 says. For everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man. Now, I must pause here for just a second. Salvation is not by works. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying that if you do these things, you'll be saved. He's talking about someone who's truly been born again, who truly knows Christ, who's living for Christ, wants to walk with Him. Jesus is not saying you're made righteous or you're justified by doing these very things. Matter of fact, you can try some of these things in the Beatitudes. You won't be able to do them if you don't know Jesus. It's impossible. But he's describing a true profession. He's describing what really happens in the heart of a believer who comes to know Jesus, right? This is how you live. And so when it comes to obedience, we have both desires and actions. Our actions flow out of those desires. But I want you to see this as we come to understand more deeply about actions. desires and actions of the foolish, and then the desires and the actions of the wise. First of all, as far as the foolish man, he does not count the cost of building a proper foundation. Matter of fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones says the man's in a hurry. I kind of like that picture. He's in a hurry to build his foundation. He doesn't take time to think and study and prepare and get the tools he needs and find out how to build the house right. He's just quick to get the house up. He's got a family, got a lot of kids crying. They need a roof, right? Let's just put it up. But the idea is that he didn't take time to consider what's important in a house. And so he's impatient. He does not ponder the solid rock foundation that a house should be built on, nor exactly how that house should be built. If we're going to be honest, he was hasty. He was shallow. He was impatient. Does not contemplate what a house should be like that's going to last. He just put up the house quickly. In reality, he's not concerned for Jesus' words. He's not concerned for building a strong, solid foundation on the rock to dig enough, deep enough to get it on the rock. He's satisfied with the sand. Are you satisfied in your life with building it on the sand? It falls, brothers and sisters. It's not worth it. The foolish man, we can go a little further here. The foolish man listens to what only makes him feel good and ignores what he does not like. Pastor, he doesn't want you to speak about his sin or his rebellion. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want a skilled spiritual doctor who knows the word to show me the ugliness in my heart, nor the destruction or the effects of sin. He doesn't want to hear that. He's foolish. Rather, he would settle for a little Band-Aid and a little bit of medicine that just covers the sting for a few minutes. But underneath, he's struck. He's destroyed. He's empty. He's hollow. And he will fall. In the final analysis, the foolish man wants to build his house his way, not God's way. Are you here this morning? Are you wanting to build your house on yourself and your thinking and your feelings? You're foolish. I don't know who you are. I don't want to call you foolish, but that's what God says, right? You're foolish to do that. But there's another option. And I think most of you are here because you want to be. You want the other option. And see, God's people listen to the warning of Jesus. Please, this morning, listen to the warning of Jesus. If you build your house in a foolish way, in a hurried way, it will fall. And there will be a great destruction. In the end, the foolish does not practice Christ's teaching. They may hear. They may get their ears tickled. They may want to do these things, but in the end, their actions don't show they really listened. They don't show that they really heard. Now, as for the wise man, let me encourage you. What does Jesus say about the wise man? The wise man considers carefully the cost. He considers carefully how he's going to dig. He lays a strong foundation. You see, the wise builder loves the word of God and doesn't run from it. He studies it. He thinks about it. He ponders it. He knows that that sword is going to pierce him and cut him at times, right? But when he bleeds, what does he do? He runs to the cross to find healing, cure, and change. He knows Jesus can help him. He's not afraid of running to the cross and saying, God, help me. That's what a wise man does. The wise man returns again and again to the truth of the word of God because he knows that it will bring healing and freedom. He wants no other doctor. At times, the rain, the storm beat upon it, right? But when that rain and storm beats him down, where does he do? Even if he's on his hands and knees, he crawls to Calvary and says, Jesus, you're my Lord. I want my life built on you. I have no other hope. The wise man makes his pattern of submitting over and over and over again to Jesus' teachings. Oh, he fails at times, but he knows that his Savior will save him. He'll forgive him. He'll hold him. And in Jesus, he's solid and secure. The wise man knows that his own thinking, his own efforts to please God always fall short. He does not trust in his own thinking. He does not trust in himself. He trusts in God's truth. He trusts in God's direction. He trusts in what Jesus has said, for he believes that will give him wisdom. Jesus says about this wise man, he who hears and does his teaching, Christ's teaching, this wise man will build his life on the rock, and when the difficulties of the difficulties of this world come, his house will not fall. Why? Because it's built on Jesus, the solid rock. You see, our lives are known not by what we say, but how we live. Can I say that again? We're known not necessarily by what we say, but how we live. A continued, steady obedience proves what's in our heart. The wise man comes with different desires and different directions and different goals than the foolish man. And he desires to stay with Christ till this life becomes real in his heart. He is built on the foundation of the solid rock of Jesus. So in conclusion, there are different results, brothers and sisters. Pretty simple, isn't it? What is the result? One house stood, the other house fell. Can't miss that. It's pretty clear. The wise man's house may have been shaken, by the way. When you go through the storms, there's some shingles that fall off, right? There's some paint that gets destroyed on your house. There are fences that are blown down in your yards. Been through hurricanes. I know these things. Yep. But the truth is, your house will not fall. In contrast, what happens to the man who built his house on the sand, which is no foundation at all, or on the ground? It collapsed. It fell. There's nothing left. And Jesus said, great is the fall of that man. And so, in conclusion, take some time to evaluate your foundation. Evaluate your actions. What does it show in your life? Your actions will reveal, again, your foundation, what you've built your life upon. Here are some questions to help. Number one, am I building my life on Jesus and his teachings? Have you done that? Do you desire those things? How do I know? Well, part of the way you know is when I read through the Sermon on the Mount, does that say, yes, that's what I want. That's how I want to live. Do I desire that? No, we're going to be perfect. But Lord, that's what I desire. That's why I come to church. I want to hear your word. I want to listen to what the pastor has to say. I want to hear what he says. And I want to follow you, Jesus. Does that ring in your heart? It's an evidence that you've built your life in the right foundation. Not that we're perfect, but we strive for that. Am I building my life on Jesus, or am I building my life on myself, my desires, and the things of this world? And that's so easy to do, isn't it? There's much out there that comes at us. We have to take and make choices to turn from these things. Here's some other helps here. Do I have a love and delight for Jesus? Do I have a love and delight for his word? Is there in your own heart you just delight as you read, as you think, as you know what he says? Do you seek to practice his truth? Do I have a desire to practice the word in my life? And here it is, the last one. When I fail, do I run to Christ or do I ignore him? You see, the foolish man just does his own thing. He ignores the word. He ignores the admonitions. He ignores the thoughts of the scriptures and just says, I'll take it myself. I'll pull it up. I can do it. No. The wise man says, I can't. I need Jesus. Is that in your heart? The wise man says, I need him. So I urge you, my brothers and sisters, build your house on Jesus. And for those of you who don't know him, run to him. Find life in Jesus. Know that he is our only hope. The people in that day saw something of him. Many turned away. Others didn't. But the scripture says in the end that they knew his authority. He spoke like no one else. So I pray this morning, if you hear his words, it'll speak to your heart like no one else can. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, you are the perfect God. You are perfect man. You're right in all your ways. So when you speak, there's wisdom, there's conviction. There are things that we need to hear. But Lord, may we not just hear them this morning, but may we be willing to make some changes. And if we're not doing what is right in your eyes, we confess our sins. run to you and seek to change the things that need to be changed. Certainly, Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need you to open up the truth of these things to us, these words that you've spoken, these truths to us, so that we can understand them in our heart and we would be willing to say, yes, Jesus, I desire to live this way. Oh, that not only would we live this way, but we would teach our family to do the same. Our children, our wives, our husbands, we would sit around and read your word and talk about you so that we might then follow your ways more carefully. Lord, we all need help. We all need one another. May we do this at Cordon also. As we meet in small groups, as we meet in discipleship, that we are encouraging one another to be wise and build our life upon Jesus our Lord. In whose name I pray. Amen.